free bottle will be conveniently shipped to your door.
No strings attached and no commitments to buy.
Call 1-800-491-3436.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-491-3436. Agents are standing by to take your call for this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-491-3436. 1-800-491-3436.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Valentine's Day in the Crescent City. It doesn't get any better than that.
What have you designed for us, Lori?
A beautiful crescent moon with a heart inside for everyone you love.
The moon and bag pendant is just $99, and it sparkles with a diamond.
At Ramsey's.com.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
You know what? You're mocking me, aren't you? You're mocking me. What did you just mouth just now, by the way?
Well.
That's right. What's your thoughts? 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. Plenty of topics we've touched on already. The news officially now come out that Deshaun Watson has requested a trade. Adam Schefter, we played this a little bit earlier. He said that trade request was made a while back. We opened up the show with this. Here it is.
Deshaun Watson officially has requested a trade from the Houston Texans, Greeny. As it turns out, he did this days ago. So it is official now. Deshaun Watson will want out of Houston. The head coaching hire of David Culley makes no difference. It does not change his feelings one bit. Deshaun Watson has requested a trade from the Houston Texans. This now vaults to the top of the offseason storylines. We will wait to see where Deshaun Watson goes this offseason. But now we see how the Houston Texans handle a situation. Houston, you have a problem officially. He has requested the trade.
He was so waiting to say that phrase.
You think he thought about it all day, huh? Come on. Calling him hokey? Don't call him hokey. Don't do that. We'll get to the graph here right after this bite. Adam Schefter, which quarterback he thinks may move first in all the different teams that may want him. This is
Matthew
interesting.
Matthew Stafford, I think, because I think it's out in the open for both sides. The Texans aren't at the point where they want to or are ready to go trade Deshaun Watson. But I think the Detroit Lions clearly are. They've had the conversations with the player. The player's had the conversations with the team, and both sides are ready to move on. So it's easy to do that once that happens. The Texans and Deshaun Watson are not in the same spot. Not sure the Eagles and Carson Wentz are quite in that spot right now. There are a number of free agents out there. But again, I would just say this. If you go and look around the league, and it's a fun little exercise, how many teams could you count today where you absolutely know the locked-in opening day quarterback starter for next season? There are maybe 10. Maybe 10. And then there are another three or four where you say, well, I think Daniel Jones will be the guy in New York. Or I think Matt Ryan will be the guy in Atlanta. Maybe. But you can find guaranteed questions with half the teams in the league. Minimum 16. I'd say maybe 18 or 20.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting when you think about it, huh?
Steal Lonzo, flip it up the floor to Jackson Hayes, tomahawk, baby!
Jackson's sprinting out like a deer.
We got to see a replay.
Jackson took about two steps from half court, I believe.
I was going to say, that might be just below the free throw line where he took off.
Heard that driving back from my Tulane game yesterday right here on ESPN New Orleans, your home for Pelicans basketball. That is the voice of the Pelicans, Ty Graffanini at NT Graff on Twitter, and John DeCesar, the color analyst for the Pelicans Radio Network. You guys were having fun yesterday.
Mr. Gus Kattengill, yes, we did have some fun, and it was, you know, it was good to get back on the floor again, Gus, and it was good to see the guys down below and not on a monitor. And we thought we were going to do that on Monday against the Spurs. That obviously never happened. And it was good to see the team come out, play with some energy, play with some passion, and get a win against, look, Washington is undermanned. We know that. You still have to execute. And anytime there's a Bradley Beal on the other side who can literally win the game himself, and look, the Pelicans had a 26-point lead, Gus, in the third quarter, and they were able to whittle it all the way down to 9.
Right.
And the reason Beal got 47 points is because he played 40 minutes. They got themselves back into the game enough that they didn't take Beal out. And let me tell you what, and Stan Van Gundy mentioned it after the game, he put on a show. I mean, an absolute show. And when they finally took him out, and I mentioned this on the air, Gus, it looked like that man ran a marathon. He was flat, exhausted. You got to remember, the Wizards played the night before in Houston. And, I think it was the best of both worlds last night, Gus. The Pels got a win. They got a comfortable win. You saw Zion and Ingram do what they are capable of doing on a night-in and night-out basis. And you got to see the NBA's leading scorer up close and personal nearly get a 50-burger. So I'd say it was a pretty good night.
Yeah, I was going to get into that here. There's so many Pels fans that have daydreamed long before Van Gundy or David Griffin. I mean, Bradley Beal to the Pels has been courted by so many Pels reporters, fans for years. You got this 47, dude. I mean, when you're calling the game and you're seeing a performance like that, you can't help, even though it's against your team, but just be impressed, right?
No question. Look, like I said, he played 40 minutes, and Russell Westbrook did not play due to rest. I'm sure he overexerted himself the night before in that loss to Houston. 40 million, but, you know, what do I know? I watched Westbrook warm up before the game. He looked tired to me, but that's just me. What do I know? I've only been in the league a year and a half. The other amazing thing is Beal took 37 shots. So, and JD and I were talking about this before the game. If Beal had scored 30 points on, say, 15, 16, 17 shots, then you really got to start worrying. That's when efficiency comes in, and that's when you're going, oh, boy, this is a night that could do us in. But, and we got to say this, Gus, because I know he's your favorite player, but Lonzo Ball did a heck of a job on Beal early in that ball game, and Beal was taking a lot of shots early on, and they were not going. Lonzo did a great job defensively. Now, Lonzo had to leave the game with a sprained ankle. Hopefully he'll be back very soon. Coach Van Gundy mentioned that he thought it was pretty good in the sense that he might be able to come back for the game tomorrow night. But he did a good job against him. And it took Beal really a quarter and a half for him to really get going. Then, of course, in the second half, especially the third quarter, he literally took over. It was basically 1-on-5. Yeah. And when you see a guy like that who is literally in the zone and you're doing everything you possibly can to try to defend him and it still doesn't work, well, then you just, you know, sorry I'm using a baseball term here, but you tip your cap and you go, well done.
It's nuts when you think of really what you see in there, man, and the ability that they've been able to do. And from this aspect of it too, right? It's what kind of we've been saying. I mean, the front court, 18 rebounds by Steven Adams, man. I know JD was saying that he was just working his tail off in different language as well. And then 32 from Ingram and Williamson. I said it last segment. When you watched, it wasn't like it was anything out of the ordinary. Zion's just putting his head down. He looks quicker. He's starting to look more like Duke Zion. And B.I., he only went to the line once. Now we can, right, you know, argue whether or not he should have gone to the line more, because that's remarkable to me that he only attempted one free throw, a guy that shoots 32 points. Nobody hit his elbow. Nobody is following him.
Well, here's the thing. As far as Zion goes, and you talked about it in the previous segment, he got to the line 11 times, okay? Getting to the line is one thing. When you're converting at the line as he did last night, then you really got something. He's 8 mm-hmm. for 11. You'll sign up for that before the game starts every time, and JD and I were talking about it during the game. He's shooting 67, 68% from the free throw line. That's pretty good. Now, mm-hmm. if he starts moving that up, Gus, to about a 72, 73%, he's going to score 30 points a bunch, many more times than not, because he is just unstoppable getting to the rim. And the crazy thing is they know he's going left, and they still cannot stop it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun to watch. On the Brandon Ingram thing, you know, B.I. actually struggled last night early on. His shot was not falling. He started the game out 2 for 7 from three, because most of the shots that he took early on were from beyond the arc. Then he went, you know what, let me get back to really my game, and that's mm-hmm. the mid-range where he is deadly. And he hit 2-3 mid-ranges in a row, and that got him going. Then he started backing it up, and by that time, everything was falling. Career-high tying 7 threes, 32 smooth points. You know, he had the quietest 30 points you could ever imagine against the Timberwolves on Saturday night. He scored 30 points in that game, and it was a struggle. Last night, it was anything but a struggle after the early, you know, missed shots. Then he didn't miss pretty much in the second half, and he wound up with 32. When those two guys are scoring at that clip, you're going to give yourself a chance, right, especially when the bench performs as they did last night. Nine guys played. Everybody had some type of contribution.
Yep.
That's when the Pelicans are at their best, and I don't care who they're playing.
Nah, 8. Hayes, 8. Hart had 6. Redick had 5, to your point. I mean, if you got to contribute. Look, and JD says it 150 times a broadcast, right? It's a make-or-miss league. I mean, when shots go in, when Lonzo, you know, attacks or he defends and he does that, I mean, you heard B.I. and Zion after the game say it. So this team can be better. And that's the beauty of this, Todd. It's only 16 now. Brian's making fun of me that I always give everybody homework, but I'm giving you a homework assignment as well. I'd like to discuss this next week with you and compare and contrast. Maybe ask the people around the team. Ask the coaches as well. 19 games to 19 games, which is remarkable to think that that's all we saw last year from Zion. So we haven't even had season one to season two to compare. And the reason I'm coming up with this is because I'm just thinking we got to see AD develop from the get-go, from a skinny, you know, player to what we saw almost, you know, just about a year and a half ago, to where he was an MVP candidate. But it takes seasons and it takes times to do that. And I'm just excited because, Todd, you're seeing him better than me. I think Zion's improving by the game. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you are. And The gist of the whole thing, Gus, goes down to one simple fact. He is playing every night, and he's playing 32 minutes every
right.
night. That's what he's averaging. And, look, 32 minutes last year for him was basically right before the shutdown in March. It took him that long. Obviously, he didn't start until January 22nd.
Right.
And we were done on March 11th. So he had built himself up to that point. He's been playing 32 to 35 minutes every single night. So he is in game shape, and we're seeing what he can do when he is in game shape. Does he still have to improve a little bit? Obviously. He's only been in the league not even half a full season,
right,
if you count all the games that he's played. He did play, and it's interesting that Stan Van Gundy mentioned in the media hit before the game that he thought that Zion had his best defensive practice,
mm-hmm.
best defensive practice the day before when the San Antonio game was postponed, the practice after that. So that translated a little bit to the court last night. So obviously he's got to work on those things. He's starting to take, now like almost 1 3-point attempt per game. He's starting to, they're leaving him wide open, Gus. Right. So he's starting to take it. Now he made one 2 games ago. He missed the one he took last night. You don't want him to start, Steph Currying it out there
right.
and taking 10 to 13 threes. But they are leaving him open. And look, Fred Vinson's been working on him, working with him on his shot. So hopefully those will start going. But I'm quite comfortable watching him lead the league in points in the paint.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah,
he's 19 yep. or so points in the paint every single night.
How many years did it take for AD to become a quote unquote add that to his repertoire? 5, 6.
What, threes?
Yes, to when he was shooting threes.
Oh, I thought he was shooting threes right away, wasn't he?
I'm talking about where he made them. And here's the other element of it. Take LeBron and Michael and all these other guys and even, players that have been defensive players. And I get the criticism, and it's fair to an extent. But, again, 16 games, 19 games. That's so far what Zion's been able to play. Name me players that come right into the league and become defensive prowesses, stop gurus and, 3-point specialists immediately. It takes games and it takes time. What I like is you're seeing a guy that wants to work, is getting better, is taking the teaching onto the court. And man, I'm just watching the game last night and even my wife sitting on the couch, Todd, she's like, he really is good, isn't he? I'm like, yeah, and he's just starting. I mean, it's just starting. It's just give it time. Literally give it time. Nothing since he's gotten in has been normal. Nothing.
No, and the scrutiny just is off the charts. And look, he's been under that scrutiny since he was at Duke. There's no question about it. And it takes a special person to be able to deal with that every single day. Because, look, I saw it up close and personal last year when we were traveling. When every single camera is pointed in your face, mm-hmm. every single iPhone camera is pointed in your face, you literally cannot take a step without somebody, asking you for an autograph. Again, I was in amazement last year watching him go through this, and a lot of it was before he had even stepped foot on a court, played for real, like in a real game. So he's had to deal with a lot of stuff, and I'm just glad that he's healthy. And that he's playing every night, and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And it's just playing basketball and scoring a whole lot of points for his team.
All right, hold on. Give me 1 second, buddy. Give me 1 second here. I got a 30. There it is. Ty Raffanini came through.
He did.
Yesterday.
In a big way.
Yep. Jordan Kleber was in dire straits, in dire need. What did he need, Todd?
He needed a Dong Fong King Cake. Let me tell you something, Gus and Jordan. I texted right after that I would get it done. When the graph says an elephant is going to lay an egg, don't ask questions. Go get the skillet. That's all I got
to
say.
He came in clutch. I went to the Smoothie King Arena before the show.
Yeah.
And we made the handoff successfully.
You made the transaction.
Yes.
There it is. So you will return to...
I will have a happy family when I get home.
Your mom requested it.
Yes.
So there and you sister. Go. And sister. So
literally
you go.
Literally 24 hours later, you've got a king cake.
Not just a king cake, a Dong Fong king cake, which are hard to come by. So go. Thank you so much,
thank
Todd.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, buddy.
You're here welcome, he Gordon.
When we come back, Daniel Salerson joins us on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you. And that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Great Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingale here for Men's Total Health. With the new year comes new resolutions. One of them needs to be visit Men's Total Health. Low T can produce physical and emotional changes. Get tested. I did. See where you stand. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, help with ED, even IV therapy. Visit Men's Total Health today, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call or go online at menstotalhealth.net and let them know the Sports Hangover sent.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingale.
Welcome back. The Salersons, the way to follow him over on Twitter. Also part of the Pelicans Radio Network. Daniel, how are you this afternoon?
I'm pretty good, my friend. How are you?
Oh, listen to his voice. I'm telling you, Todd was happy. He was just going to come on and talk about the king cake. 15 minutes later, it's time for Daniel, and now he's happy.
Daniel must have gotten a Donk Phone
king cake. Oh, did you get a king cake as well? Did you get a king cake?
You know, Todd only goes through the ringer for you, Jordan, I guess. Because there's
I guess so.
Wow.
And there's no king cake to be found. I thought I came in here hungry, ready for one, but not the case. I guess Todd is just money as much as you guys.
I would, but I'm still trying to learn my new MacBook and transfer files, but I would be playing the Price is Right fail sounder for you right now. You know, the bump, 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 bump. Poor Daniel.
Plenty times. Okay.
I will have it next time for you. Can I quickly go around the league real quick, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Pels and Wizards? So yesterday, obviously, was built as one of the big games and marquee games, and it should, right? Top team in the West, top team in the East faced each other over in Philadelphia. The Lakers had won, what, every road game? And, Daniel, look, I obviously, they're the team people like to, you know, dislike and things of that nature, but, dude, the moves they made in the offseason, they were legit. They weren't over, like star-studded, but they just made sense. I thought they added depth, and they're a really good team, man. And but Philly beat them yesterday. For people that haven't perhaps been paying attention around the league just to the Pels, what's Joel Embiid doing right now in Philly, dude?
I mean, I think it might just be a new coach, a new style. I mean, when Doc Rivers there at the helm, I'm sure they're just using – I mean, again, I haven't been able to watch as much Philadelphia 76ers game as I try to, but the fact that Joel Embiid, I think, has kind of been focused a little more on what he's been able to do this season for them, it's certainly something to consider. And I think Doc Rivers plays to his strengths. I mean, he's averaging almost 28 points per game, 11 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, he's done that for, you know, a good portion of his career, but it's just the way he's doing it, the way he's not relying too much on his three ball shots. He's taking 3 a game, but he's hitting 40% of them, but he's shooting 55% from the field. He's also 83% from the foul line. So I think just everything's going right for Joel this season. And, you know, I think after the disappointing, you know, seasons for Philadelphia the last couple of years, I'm sure there's some motivation there to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, get to the finals where they think they belong.
You know, did Doc Rivers make that much of a difference?
I mean, it seems like it right now. I mean,
right. I guess the obvious answer and question there. Because, and when he got let go by the Clippers, I mean, it was one of those, even the Pels, you have to pick up the phone, right?
Right. I mean, it is an interesting situation, but I think we're not really going to know if it's Doc Rivers until you get to the playoffs. Because
right. Good point.
Talking about teams, it's all about where you go in the conference finals. You know, of course, they had the heartbreaking loss a couple of years ago to Kawhi Leonard on that game-winning three-pointer in the corner. Mm-hmm. so, then, you know, they were a shot away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals or going to a shot at going to the West of the Finals. But, man, I mean, it's just I think we're going to have to wait and see how this all bears out. You know, teams go through good times and teams go through bad. So if Philadelphia goes through a tough time here during the season, let's see how Doc Rivers handles it, because I think that was one of the reasons why he may have been, you know, let go in Los Angeles is, you know, they were playing postseason, so well before the hiatus, and then once they got to the bubble, just things weren't clicking with this team. So I think handling adversity is part of the challenge with a lot of these coaches. But, I mean, the Clippers are 13-5, too, so maybe it's not Doc. But I think you have also some complementary pieces around the Sixers, you know, bringing Seth Curry. I think that was a big move for them, being able to space the floor a little bit more. It just might be the pieces around Joel Embiid that are really helping them succeed.
Speak with Daniel Salison, part of the Pelicans Radio Network, though, in pregame, halftime, and post. He talks about the rest of the league, so we're kind of doing that quickly before we get to the Pels. Look, it's one of the things you and I have talked about when it came or it comes to the Pels, about just patience and obviously trust what people are going to do eventually with either moves or players develop as well, because you're really not out of it. When you look around the league, I mean, I'm going to fly through this, but you can call them surprises, but I just think that this is what this season is going to be. The Miami Heat are 6-11. They played in the finals last year. The Celtics are 10-7, right? The Suns, who looked unbeatable, are now 8-8. The Mavericks, who we thought were going to be a power, they're 8-10. The Jazz just in, they're good. But I mean, you know, it's like you look around everywhere else. I mean, the Warriors are 10-8. There's not really, even the Lakers, when you look at their record, it's not like they only have a loss or two. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, that's why, you know, every time we have someone on the podcast and I ask them what our big surprise is.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers have lost five times. I mean, it's not like it's dominating.
Right. Well, they tell me that it's way too early to even figure out which teams are the good teams in the league. I mean, you're starting to see which teams are ironing out. I mean, look at the West. Those are the three teams you probably expected at the top, with Utah, the Lakers, and the Clippers. Everyone talks about how talented Utah is. They've won 10 in a row. They're the hottest team in the league. The Nuggets started off slow. They're now back and forth in the fourth spot in the position. And then if you look at the East, you know, Philly, Milwaukee, Indiana, those are the teams that you were. Brooklyn has been dealing with the Kyrie issue and then James Harden being acclimated. But also a lot of these teams have dealt with COVID. I think the Pelicans are one of six or seven teams that have not dealt with a positive test so far. And so they haven't had to worry about, you know, the postponed games have been due to the other team in Dallas and then a traveling party for someone with the Spurs and the Pelicans. And so, you know, as much as we're 6-10 right now, I think some of it is also the more veteran teams are at the top right now. The teams that are, for the most part, have been together for a while, Milwaukee, Philly, Indiana, the Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, those are teams that only got better in the offseason or really stayed put. So I think those are the teams that are really not surprising. But it is surprising to see some of the teams like Toronto struggle, Miami struggle, but I also think it's an entirely different situation this year. I don't think we're really going to know which teams are for real until maybe we get to this first half break.
Milwaukee won last night, 115-108. That's the Pelicans' next opponent. Look, I mean, you saw them in the preseason out of two games, and obviously that it is what it is. But it's an interesting matchup for me, and listening to you guys in the broadcast yesterday, it's kind of an opportunity. Look, it's a win. I get it's the Wizards. Beal put up 47. So he's out there fighting, and we just went through what we just went through to kind of show that every single game and any given game can be had out there. How big would it be for this team to show up tomorrow? I just want to see them compete, fight, make this a fourth quarter game. I know that's a low bar, but what do you want to see tomorrow with them?
Yeah, I think that competing is the biggest thing. And look, the Pelicans, Sam and Gundy said it last night, they've had no problems coming out of the gate with the intensity, the effort, because the first quarters have not been a problem. You saw it again last night in Washington. They were fine against Minnesota. And then that Utah game, the second game in the series, they outscored Utah 43-31. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been able to sustain that throughout an entire game. And whether that is fatigue, whether it's just lack of execution, or again, when this team gets down on a big run, their defense kind of falls apart a little bit. So, yeah, I think just competing would be fine. But, again, at some point with the expectations of this team, you know, competing in, night in, night out, you know, sometime you want to get one of these wins. And the Milwaukee Bucks have lost six games, which means they are a beatable team. It's not like anyone in the NBA is not. They lost to the Knicks earlier this season on the road by 20 points. They lost to the Miami Heat earlier in the season by 11 points. So, I mean, some of their losses have been against teams that have losing records. So, I think for the Pelicans, you got to take it one quarter at a time. You're facing one of the MVP candidates in Antetokounmpo. They're a very unselfish team, top five in assists. They're number one in points scored per game, so the defense has got to be up to par, and they're a rebounding team, which the Pelicans usually have an advantage over some of the teams that they play. So it's going to take a complete game for them to beat a really tough Milwaukee team, but it's definitely something that they can do.
I think one of the things that stood out to me, and I'll ask you this, Daniel, a thing or two that stood out to you yesterday, and to me it's this, that you can see, and we've seen in small little, I guess, snapshots, what this team is capable of doing. And to me, the thing that just keeps standing out is night in and night out, dude, this front court, the trio of Adams, Zion, and Ingram, they're as good as anybody else in the league, right?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you have Williamson and Steven Adams down there, that's two, as Jason Smith said, two brute forces on our podcast yesterday and said that the Celtics or the Wizards have a hard time with them. And that certainly was the case. But yeah, you got two young guys in B.I. and Zion that are, you know, the up and coming guys in the league. And I think that's something that a lot of these younger teams don't really have. So you have the pieces there, but again, it's a new coach, a new identity. You're focusing more on the defensive end, where last year it was offense was the main key and running and picking up the pace. But defense is just all about getting stops and all about these players knowing situations, when to pack the paint, when at times you're going to have to go out and defend the three, depending on what the other team needs. Those are the things that take time with a young team and individual players to figure out. Even last night, I mean, Lonzo Ball was playing great until he got injured in the first quarter and then had to come out and miss the game. So you've had spurts of all these players playing some really good minutes, but you haven't been able to piece it together for really a complete game. You've had some good wins, but when's the last time you had a complete game, maybe besides opening night? There's been some quarters that have been kind of, you know, wrecked for some of those games. So, yeah, I mean, there are pieces there, and I think that's what the frustration is. But also at the same time, these things are going to take a little bit more time with the lack of training camp and with the younger team. I mean, they're the fifth youngest team in the NBA. So not to put excuses on them, but it's a lot tougher on these younger teams in this situation with COVID and a shortened schedule compared to some of the older teams that have been through this type of situation before and that can handle it a lot better.
What are the games tonight to keep an eye on TNT? Warriors and Suns. Saw that Golden State game last night after our game got done with New Orleans. So it'll be fun. We got some hoops tonight to go check out. The early game on TNT's Trailblazers and Rockets. Daniel Salerson, part of the Pelicans Radio Network, as always, man. I appreciate it. And tonight, 6 o'clock Pelicans Weekly. Who we got?
Oh, just a guy named David Griffin. I don't know if you've heard of him. Vice President of Basketball Operations. Great conversation with him, and hopefully y'all can tune in. Appreciate the shout out.
Sounds good. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll stay with basketball next. Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. The Green Wave get back on the hardwood and see if they can get a W. Coming up in 14 minutes, don't go anywhere, the latest on quarterbacks in the NFL. We got plenty of news. Who the Texans are getting calls from? You might be surprised by one team. It's in the NFC South. I'll tell you that. And also, another one in the AFC. A team says a quarterback wants to come back, but the owner says, not at the rate we're paying you. Woo-hoo-hoo. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans. You can turn me on with just
a touch, baby. When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit tgmc.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GREENY.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Sure thing. We can help you replace those wipers. If yours are squeaking or streaking, it's probably time. We've got a wide selection of wipers that can stand up to any weather, including the right ones for your make and model. We've even got more ways to get them fast, like our next day delivery or free same day store pickup. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the exciting adventure of the daily commute to the peace of mind that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service and legendary customer service. But Pamela Mund had one reason in particular.
My skin is extremely averse to most fabrics, except for the soft, buttery feeling of leather. Thankfully, I found my clan of leather lovers in the biking community. It's been life-changing.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. As always, pleasure to bring in the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Andrew Allegretta at A-A-L-L-E-G-R-E-T-T-A. The way to go check you out on Twitter. Sir, how are you, man? Hello, Andrew. Andrew going there. Once. There he is. What's up, sir? How are you?
Hey, what's up? No, that was fantastic pacing.
There you go. Just use the same pace. No problem with that. How are things going, man?
Oh, we're good. We play basketball tonight.
That's what I meant. It's been a while since the last time you called the game there. January 16th, it was the same day, obviously, that the ladies last played, and it felt like, and I saw a team yesterday that looked like they hadn't been a while. Look, this is a strange season. I get it. Whether it's teams that you're supposed to play that can't play, or in our case, you know, with Tulane, you can't as well. But with all of that, the season goes on, but you kind of wonder when you take to the court tonight how that's going to fare. And, oh, by the way, you're only facing number six, Houston.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I'm going to sit here and talk candidly with you, I think it's going to be a struggle for Tulane. They haven't played in, like you said, 12 days. They have not played a home game since whenever that East Carolina game was. I think, like, January
2nd.
Okay, yeah, okay. So we're talking about essentially 3.5 weeks. Almost 4 weeks, almost a full month of not playing a home game.
Yeah.
And like you said, you've got one of the best teams in the country on the opposite side of you. Not to mention that you've just been dealing with a handful of your players coming in and out of contact tracing, in and out of quarantine, in and out of recovering from COVID-19. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to necessarily say it without saying it, but, I mean, tonight's going to be an issue. And I would think Coach Hunter knows that as well.
Andrew, when you take a look at where the team was heading, obviously, into, or I guess coming out of some of these games, and you last faced Temple, it was a loss, 65-57. You lost at Houston before. We'll get to that first game and a win, but it's kind of, where do you think that team sort of was, 6-4?
You know, what was interesting is I was talking with Coach Hunter the other day, and I think one of the problems with this season of all seasons is the teams that have veteran, senior leadership, people that can be consistent through inconsistent times are going to have the most success. Not only is Houston super talented, but Houston is full of upperclassmen with a few couple of special younger players that fit. Tulane is effectively all new, totally brand new. Even the upperclassmen are underclassmen. Like Noble Davis is a sophomore and captain on this team. Or Gabe Watson is an upper-class junior, but he's a transfer. So nothing is consistent to start with for Tulane, and now you're asking for consistency through inconsistency. It's a long way to say that this team needed a normal season to understand itself, and it was not dealt one. So it's been a bumpy ride the entire time.
Speak with Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. One of the things that I've talked to with either other coaches, players, or broadcasters about their teams as well is with the season like this and stop and go and then trying to develop and having certain types of players, whether it's either transfers, new players that are freshmen, and trying to, I guess, get everybody going in that, the right direction. The challenge to that, it isn't just alone to whether it be Tulane or Nichols, anything else, LSU, you're sort of seeing it. It's all the way around. I mean, Duke, right? When's the last time that they hadn't been in the top 25? I mean, it's crazy. It's not just, I guess, to normal schools that maybe haven't been successful. Everyone's sort of dealing with this, huh?
Yeah, I can't remember the stat, right? But there was a piece recently, and maybe it's still true, where Duke and Kentucky were both not in the top 25, and it's the first time in, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years that both of those programs at the same time were not in the top 25. You know, I was listening to Dan Orlovsky from ESPN talk yesterday on one of the shows, and he was talking about all of his conversations with coaches. And he was just making the point that he would go from one coach to one coach throughout the course of the week, and you could feel the weight of the pandemic in the conversation for them.
Right.
And then he got, oddly enough, to Nick Saban, who was like, fine, just because he's a robot and manages his way through these situations better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that is to say, right, like everybody is dealing with it in their own fashion. And generally speaking, not handling it all that well, because why would anybody handle this all that well, with the exception of Nick Saban and the machine that is the Alabama football team?
I'm glad you said that, because, I mean, even the people over at Tennessee, I was asking this earlier in the week. I'll ask it to you when I ask you about football next. Two more questions for you, Andrew, but I want to wrap up here with the Wave on the court, of course, to take on Houston tonight. Look, they were number 11 when you faced them. They're number 6 now. What makes the Cougars so difficult to try to stop?
Oh, goodness. I mean, there's any number of different things that make them really challenging. The thing that really made it difficult for Tulane the first time around is that Tulane didn't guard the three-point line all that well. They can stretch their offense out. I'm not saying they're the Golden State Warriors when Curry and Thompson and the crew were shooting 45-foot three-pointers and they were going in.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that Tulane plays defense, that matchup defense, it really forces the Wave to stretch out beyond the three-point arc to try to guard it. But they've got so many different options. And then if you stretch out to the three-point arc, those guys are all slashers, and they can get to the bucket. And the thing that's overlooked is Houston's number one in the conference when it comes to scoring defense. People talk about their offense, but they play defense very, very well. They've got a couple of New Orleans kids, by the way. And they can beat you in a lot of different ways. So it's going to be a grind. I'm not saying that an upset is not possible, but understand that it certainly would be an upset.
I want to ask you, speak with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Tulane Green Wave. Obviously, Tulane in the American Athletic Conference yesterday. Tennessee's new head coach was UCF's former head coach, and a lot being made of, you know, him going over there, and people on Twitter just having, I don't know, whether it's either fun or on one side or the other side just being upset that they're leaving and stuff. Look, let's just start from this aspect, because I thought you made a very good tweet about, in reference to what Willie Fritz has done with Tulane. Obviously, it wasn't the season that you would have liked. They were in some games and lost some big leads that they would have liked to have gotten back. But you know this from covering those teams and going to it. What they face compared to, say, Houston and UCF in terms of either size of the university, the standards to get in, things of that nature. I liked what you said about, I don't know if people appreciate what Willie's been able to do since he's gotten here.
Yeah, so basically I said that I will be and will continue to be more impressed with what Coach Fritz has done versus what Coach Heupel did, which I think he went 28-8 over the course of his three or four seasons at UCF. A couple of things, right? Like, not to delve too far into this right off the bat, because I could go and I kind of thought this is what we would have a good time talking about here. But there's two things at play. The first one is the obvious institutional differences. We don't necessarily need to go down that line. But the other thing I find fascinating with all of these coaching hires, all of them, is the narrative around certain coaches, the way that the hiring process works, and all of it, I feel like, often dramatically overvalues just like straight records in comparison to the job that that coach walks into, right? So Josh Heupel walked into a Ferrari that was built by Scott Frost. Mm-hmm. Heupel's at Tennessee. Mike Norvell walked into maybe not a Ferrari, but a good Memphis program. And now Norvell is at Florida State. Even Drinkwitz spent one season at App State that was built by Scott Satterfield. And Drinkwitz is now at Missouri. I'm not saying it's prohibitive for any one of those coaches to be successful. Norvell at Florida State, Heupel at Tennessee, Drinkwitz at Missouri. They might be. But when the hiring process comes down, people just look at like, oh, I wonder if this guy has a great record. Well, shoot. Josh Heupel was going to have a great record. There's assistant coaches falling over themselves right now for the UCF job because it's going to be their next step to the Power mm-hmm. Five because UCF is pre-made. Tulane was not pre-made. So you could shrug your shoulders if you want at going 7-6 for Willie Fritz, but getting that program consistently to three straight bowl games is harder than taking UCF to a 28-8 record in 3 years under Josh Heupel. How's that?
I think you're right on the money on it. It's just different challenges, to say the least. Now, that said, my final thing for you, and we'll wrap up here with Andrea Legretta, is this. Whether it's now, he's going to face it at Tennessee. We've talked about it when it comes to the Pels. Different fan bases, obviously, with Tulane. Look, any kind of wins are here. But here's my question. You've covered sports a while. What is the reasonable level, time frame-wise, of expectation to where you can either build or try to, you know, get wins to a certain level? Because I almost feel like now in the last several years, Andrew, it's almost ridiculous. People expect if a new coach comes in, AD comes in, new quarterback comes in, it's like championship or bust. It's not just, you know, let's build two or three seasons to kind of get to where you can be a winning program. It better be now or else.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously ridiculous. You know, I had someone put together, a friend of mine put together a chart that said new coaches almost always win, if they're successful, a conference championship in the first handful of seasons when they get their job. I found that to be folly because there's only a handful. It's like you're slandering the coach that takes over at Wake Forest for not winning a conference championship. Of course they're not going to win a conference championship. Clemson is in that division.
Right.
It's not going to happen. But for someone like Josh Heupel, I mean, it's a 5 or 6 or 7 year project. You start getting around year 4 and 5 and you don't think it's working out, then you can make a decision. And quite frankly, I think Virginia Tech with Justin Fuente is starting to deal with that. I think he's going into season number 6 next year. And he's had some success. He took them to an ACC championship, but then it's petered off and so on and so forth. So they're at that inflection point. But it's not a 1 or 2 year decision. And the thing is, for Heupel, you talk about differences and challenges and why sometimes I think it's silly to just say, oh, so-and-so went 28-8. Heupel has a much harder job. Forget the X's and O's. He can take his offense to Tennessee and be fine. He can go and recruit, and he'll probably get decent players. You've got to compete with Florida and Georgia, but you can get decent players. He's going to have a fan base at his throat from day one. That wasn't the case at UCF. In granting himself in volunteer country and nation and getting that support behind him, that's going to be the bear, and that's going to be, as much as anything, his undoing. Jeremy Pruitt could never get that fan base on his side, and they ran him out of town way before you really know if he was going to be successful or not. So Heupel, yes, he needs to recruit and X's and O's and whatever, but he darn well better get the fan base somehow, some way on his side. Otherwise, they're going to chase him out of town before you know if he can be a good coach or not. And he didn't have to do that at UCF.
Andrew Legretta, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. You can check him out not only during the broadcast on the Tulane Sports Network with Learfield IMG College, but also the current podcast. Andrew, how can folks get that?
Apple, Spotify, TulaneGreenWave.com.
As always, a pleasure, sir. Take care and enjoy the call tonight. Houston, Tulane, over in Uptown New Orleans. We come back, the latest on NFL quarterbacks. You don't want to go anywhere. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Lady of the Sea General Hospital is continuing to administer COVID-19 vaccines utilizing a drive-through clinic in their parking lot this week. Vaccine administration is by appointment only for adults who meet the criteria for vaccination as determined by the Louisiana Department of Health. If you are age 70 or above and haven't signed up yet to take the vaccine, please call 985-632-6401 to get your name on the list. For those coming in for their appointment for the vaccine, please wear a mask while remaining in their vehicle for the vaccine administration, bring a government-issued photo ID, and wear clothing that will allow access to the upper arm. Once again, the vaccine will be administered by appointment only. If you are age 70 or above and haven't signed up yet to take the vaccine, please call Lady of the Sea General Hospital at 985-632-6401 to get your name on the list.
You're invited to start 2021 right now on the new Toyota of your choice at Houma's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Houma's number one new car dealer. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003, hour three, Jordan Kleber. It's wide open. I'm going to play some Mickey Loomis sound we didn't get to yesterday on that as well. Touch on the Pels win and some of the other interesting headlines. Oh, I don't know. Like NFL quarterback. What's going on? So where do we start? Let's start obviously with the big news of the day, and that's Adam Schefter coming out this morning saying that it's official. Deshaun Watson wants out. Like he's officially requested a trade. Now, 4 years, $100+ million contract. In it is a no trade clause, which makes it very interesting in that he basically can kind of control where he wants to go. If you're Houston, you're going to go to the best available offer that can go. We had Clint Sterner on earlier from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And obviously the haul is first rounders this year, next year, the year after that, maybe some players, all of that. He seems to think, like a lot of people think, that the Jets and Dolphins, because of their draft capital, seem to be the best two teams to do that. Now, you're listening and you're sitting and going, this makes no sense whatsoever. Sam Darnold, they just drafted several years ago. You know how I felt about Adam Gase and all those, I mean, just bad coaching, you name it, players. Are you surprised at Miami? I've told you about this. Roy, or at the gym I go to, a massive Dolphins fan, like massive. He runs a message board for the fans. He has season tickets. He flies out on Saturday, goes to the game on Sunday, and flies back home Sunday. And he told me for weeks that they weren't sold on him. That's nuts. They drafted him high last year. That's nuts. And again, it kind of goes to what I was talking about with Andrew. What's the reasonable expectation level? I mean, what do we want him to be? Tom Brady? Steve Young? And start two? I'm at a loss, dude. I honestly, I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what the expectation levels are. I'm still kind of, are you shocked? Maybe it's just me. Let's do it by team here. Jordan, are you shocked that the Rams are ready to move on from Jared Goff?
Not really.
You're not?
No.
Why?
It's, what has he really proved besides that one?
What has he proved? He went to a Super Bowl.
Okay. But at the same time, that's they had all their pieces together. Everything was lining up for him that season.
Okay.
And I don't think he was really the leading catalyst to that
team.
No.
Okay. Who was then?
Mainly their defense.
You think it was their defense?
It was their defense.
Okay. They pretty much still have some of those parts. Now they don't. I think the organization made some silly moves. Don't you remember? They were getting rid of draft picks and younger players to bring in all these veterans.
Yeah, that's what they did when
that's Jared Goff's fault, right?
They went into the...
Was that Jared Goff's fault?
No, it's not Jared Goff's fault, but...
So why... But you understand, I'm at a loss. I mean, I don't know. Here's Adam Schefter on the Rams' plans.
Well, there's one of my 18 right there, Jay. There's one of my 18. When you hear the GM talk like that, when you see that they use John Wolford in the playoffs, when Jared Goff was well enough to play, that tells you that they're clearly going to entertain a change. And again, my money would be on the fact that they have a quarterback, a different opening day starter as part of the 18 teams that I'd be forecasting for opening day. Now, again, the general manager had a chance to squash all of it the other day, and he just didn't do it. Just didn't do it. I mean, if you just listen to what Les Snead said, yes, Jared Goff is the quarterback at this time. What is today? January 27th or 8th or whatever. Well, he's the quarterback today. You didn't hear he's our guy. You didn't hear we're not looking. You didn't hear any of that. You heard complete non-committal. Count him in the 18.
All right. The news on the quarterback's front.
Yeah, Ian Rappaport over on Twitter a few minutes ago. The Texans have received plenty of calls on Deshaun Watson, and that will continue. From the Jets to the Bears to the Panthers, who will make a strong push to others? One of the most robust trades markets we've ever seen. So far we know that the Jets, the Bears, and the Panthers have made phone calls. Those have been available to us. The three teams that have called so far about Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's probably other teams that have called
right,
already.
But those are the ones that have leaked.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm sorry. What was that second team again? Jets, you said, right? You said Jets?
The Jets and the Panthers.
And the Panthers. I'm sorry. Who's the other team?
The Bears.
Who?
The Bears.
Okay. Poor Teddy. But we heard it last year. We heard it during the season. Remember Chris McClain came on WFNZ. What did he say? Gus, I'm telling you, I'm hearing that they're not really too thrilled on Theodore.
Why are you sipping your water like that?
Like what?
It's like you almost.
What? No.
I knew he wasn't like. Oh, I knew he wasn't that good.
Oh, I didn't say
like
that at all.
Taking your.
I did not see now.
Almost like that Kermit.
You're reading into how
like
I sip water.
Kermit the Frog gif of him sipping on the tea.
You think that was me sipping on? You think that's what it was?
Yep.
No.
It was almost like try to.
But now that you bring that up, yeah, there were a lot of people, man, that really tried to tell us that's the guy. Well, okay. Well, I'm doing this just on purpose now. If the Panthers move on from him,
oh my!
Well, he's available. He'd be available a lot less than no. Clint Sterner said it in hour number one, and I agree with him. A lot of other people are feeling that way too. It just kind of seems to be the match. Larry Holder back on Monday. Matthew Stafford. Right. The latest you saw the storyline late last night, early this morning. The Lions don't believe that they're going to get a first-round pick for him. So the asking price has gone lower. I think it's not even a question if I don't have to get rid of my first-round pick, right?
Well, how much does it have to go with there's so many quarterbacks that are up in question
now? That's what I'm saying. And a lot of people believe that that's why the news today came out about Deshaun Watson, because Schefter reported that this had come out earlier in the week. This had come out earlier in the week. And that Deshaun Watson's people, because there are some maybe destinations that Deshaun wants to go that are looking at Stafford, that are looking at other teams. Let me ask you this. You ready? Since, I mean, these guys are open out there. We can throw this into the discussion as we're about to reach the end of hour number two. So let me throw this open-ended to you. Ready, Jordan? Question of the hour. Go ahead and tweet this. Give me your top five preferences at quarterback that you would like to see with the Saints if it's not Winston and Hill. Just if it's not Winston and Hill, if the Saints say we don't want to go that route, who would you like them to make calls on? Is Goff on there? Would you call Jared Goff for Goff with the Rams? No. You're shaking your head.
No.
Okay. Why'd you say it like that?
I don't want him.
What about Tua?
Yes.
You want Tua?
I don't know why the Dolphins want to get rid of Tua.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Let's have fun with this. But next hour, just look. I mean, it's not an exact science here. I'm just apparently, since basically all but 10 quarterbacks are going to be on the market one way, shape, or form, or being open to making a call and make a pitch for, who would your top five be? Let's do that and discuss a bunch of other things. Hour three next on ESPN New Orleans, where you're home for Pelicans basketball.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra